So the last talk before the break is by Naomi Tsuji, Rikkyo University, constraint on diffusion coefficients at supernova remnant shocks using non-thermal X-ray and gamma ray observations.
Okay, so thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about my research. I'm going to talk about how to constrain the diffusion coefficient around SNR shock. So in this talk, diffusion coefficient is given by this equation. So this alpha indicates the energy dependence or diffusion type, and D star is the absolute value of diffusion coefficient at characteristic energy. So we have known that the diffusion coefficient in interstellar medium is in this level. So recently, a Hawk collaboration reported that the around Geminga pulsar, they detected extended like 20 parsec TeV halo. So, and they shows that to explain this extended source, so electron diffusion should be about two order of magnitude lower than that in ISM. But when it comes to acceleration sites like bomb diffusion, it's much, much lower. So, well, in this talk, I'm going to talk about how to constrain this diffusion coefficient, assuming that the acceleration site is SNR shock. Okay, so in the first half of my talk, I will discuss about the bomb diffusion case. So in bomb diffusion, the coefficient is given by this, like gyro radius times eta. So this eta is called gyro factor or bomb factor. And if eta is 1, it is called the bomb limit, and it is the most efficient acceleration. Okay, so we have this model proposed by Zilakashvili and Halonian 2007. So they obtained the analytical expression for electron and corresponding X-ray synchrotron model in the framework that the accelerated electron is limited by synchrotron cooling and bomb diffusion. They also obtained this relation between the cutoff energy and the shock speed. So we can apply this model to the observation. For example, LHJ7013 Northwest, the spectra taken by Chandra and Newstar is nicely described their model. And we obtain the cutoff energy about 1 kV. So combined this with shock speed, we can estimate that the eta acceleration efficiency is about 1, and it is bomb limit using this relation. Okay, so I did the same analysis to these young galactic SNRs listed here. And SN1987A. So the origin of hard component from this remnant is not understood, so I just assume that this is synchrotron. So in this plot, so we can see that the obtained cutoff energy times shock speed. So today I don't have much time, so I just want to focus on the detail with these three SNRs. So let me start with Kepler. This is one of the historical SNRs. And the X-ray proper motion were already measured, and I also defined a sub-region along the outer rim. And these regions roughly correspond to those of measured in Katsuda-san. So these, the shock speed is slightly different from region to region, but the obtained cutoff energy also different. So for all region, they can describe with this eta value is about 3 to 5, but only Kepler shows this beautiful picture. It is not that simple for the other SNRs like RXJ7013. So again, we have observed this Northwest region with New Star. And here is the cutoff energy versus shock speed. So the region with faster shock speed, which are likely located in the outer rim, so they can be described the Bohm limit. But on the other hand, the region with slower speed, they also show comparably high cutoff energy. And this region cannot be described with this theoretical curve, so they might not be the acceleration site. So G1.9 is also an interesting source. And the recent measurement of X-ray propomotion reveals that the speed is very high in this direction and it's low in this direction. However, the obtained cutoff energy are comparable from region to region. So in the east and the west region, the eta is about 10 to 20. However, the north and the south region, it's much, much slower, and it's about 1 to 3, even if we assume forward shock and the reverse shock. And if it's a reverse shock, this is kind of opposite trend, which is reported for Cassiopeiae by Sato-san. Okay, so I introduced some individual sources, but I think it's quite important to understand the systematical trend of these young supernova remnants. So I plot the obtained eta value. This is taken with the forward shock and bright region of each SNR as a function of its age. So we have this kind of trend. So this evolution of eta can be related to the turbulent generation. So in the younger SNR, like a few hundred years, the turbulence is not sufficiently generated, so it results in inefficient acceleration, which means large eta. But when it gets older, over 1,000 years, it gets turbulent and it works as an efficient acceleration site, which is small eta. So this is what we are observing, but I want to leave this as some open questions. Like how we should interpret this quantitatively, or what is the meaning of this slope, and it's about 0.5. Okay, so now let me move on to arbitrary diffusion case. So far, I talked about the Bohm diffusion, and which is widely accepted, but this assumption is not confirmed, so we have to test. What is the behind this is the magnetic field turbulence, which the turbulence is very related to the diffusion of cosmic rays. And the problem is we don't know what kind of turbulence and how it is produced. Okay, so I assume that this alpha value is zero for constant diffusion case, and alpha is 1/3 for a Kolmogorov type case, in addition to Bohm diffusion. So this difference appears in the cutoff shape of the electron energy distribution. So here is the corresponding synchrotron X-ray model. So we can see that this cutoff shape does depend on alpha value. Okay, so if we apply this to observation, so this is the observation plot, and with the current data set, we can't distinguish these three models, but in the future, maybe deeper observation, especially in hard X-ray, can determine these three. Okay, so for each diffusion type, we can get a constrained diffusion coefficient. Like for Bohm diffusion, we can get this, and for Kolmogorov and constant diffusion case. And we also obtained this characteristic value, which is about 3 × 10^26 at 100 TeV. And this does not depend on the alpha value. And if we simply assume that the diffusion coefficient should be larger than Bohm limit, these Kolmogorov type and constant type become inconsistent with this condition in this region. And this is in this region, in this energy band, what we are observing with Chandra and New Star. So in this case, the Bohm diffusion is consistent with this condition. But Z1.9, it shows that about one order of magnitude higher than the Bohm limit. So like all these diffusion types are consistent with this condition. So finally, I'm going to talk about gamma ray observation. So we have the same model for electron, and we can calculate the gamma ray model, I mean inverse Compton scattering in Klein-Ishino regime using NIMA code. And this is an example. So for RCW86, if we assume Bohm diffusion type, this model can reproduce the observation. And we can get the cutoff energy of electron is about 26 TeV. And combined with shock speed and magnetic field, we can estimate that eta is about 8 from this gamma ray observation. I use the data taken by Hess. So I did the same thing for these five SNR, shell type SNRs, which show hard spectrum in gamma ray and a strong TeV gamma ray emission. So I have to note that for some of them, the leptonic or hadronic problem is very controversial. But in this talk, I just assume that it is leptonic in order to compare the result with the X-ray result. So here I plot the eta value estimated with gamma ray observation and X-ray observation. And in this line, these two should be equal. So we see that the eta with gamma ray observation tend to be larger than eta with X-ray observation. So this is because we see different regions. So gamma ray is taken from the entire remnant, and the X-ray is taken from the smaller region, like rim. So magnetic field might not be appropriate, or we can say like we should care about the hadronic component. So, but this can be more constrained with specially resolved gamma ray observation like CTA. So, okay, for arbitrary diffusion case in X-ray and gamma ray. So in this plot, this shows the cutoff, obtained cutoff energy estimated with X-ray in blue and gamma ray in red for constant Kolmogorov and Bohm type diffusion. So for RCW86, it shows the cutoff with X-ray is always larger than the cutoff gamma ray. So this is apparent because the X-ray is taken from the northeast filament. But Vela Jr., both TeV gamma ray and X-ray are taken from the entire remnant. And it shows that in Kolmogorov type diffusion, these electron cutoff are comparable. But we have to be careful in this case. I mean, the magnetic field is assumed to be 12 microgauss. So again, specially resolved gamma ray observation with CTA would determine this alpha parameter. So here is my summary, and thank you for listening.
Okay, any questions?
Thank you for the talk. And I was wondering, you showed that here in the summary slide, you said that more efficient acceleration for older supernova remnants, but there is also the effect, as you showed, that in a given supernova remnant, you have different environmental conditions, and therefore you have different shock speeds. So it's not only an age effect, but it's also for a given remnant, you can have different densities that will produce different shock speeds.
So I also compare this eta as a function of expansion parameter.
Yeah.
And, well, I didn't show it now, but yeah, we have this kind of trend.
And do you see the same trend in this expansion
parameter? Yes, it's more like diffuse, but it's, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of similar trend.
Because age is not always the most representative.
Yes,
but that independent, for those regions, for those points, for example, which region did you select? Did you select the fastest regions? Those points that are here?
The brightest region.
Okay, the fast, okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Yeah, Damiano.
So very interesting. But I was wondering, how does the dependence on B go away when talking about eta? So the absolute value of B.
The value of?
Of the magnetic field.
Of the magnetic field in the Bohm diffusion, it doesn't depend on the strength.
If it is Bohm, yes, but in the other cases, you have to assume something.
In the other case, I use the magnetic field, which is estimated by the X-ray and gamma ray flux ratio in the leptonic scenario.
That only works if it is leptonic.
Yes.
Right. So, but
just assume that. But
okay. And but there are also cases like so. There is a work by Anne de Courchel in 2006, where she's or maybe later, but doesn't matter. When if you look at 1006, the frequency, the cutoff frequency moves along one of the rims, even if the velocity is not changing from one place to the other. So how do you treat this case? So eta would be something that varies continuously between one and some large value. And this is probably, I guess that this depends on the inclination on the with respect to the magnetic field, but this would in principle affect your estimate of eta in all the other environments as well.
Yes, I don't know. Like, we have to, like, think of individual source. Like you said, it might be different, but with this systematically, like eta becomes lower for older SNR.
If I can use the chair's prerogative here, synchrotron loss limited electron acceleration produces a cutoff frequency, photon energy, which is independent of magnetic field. It's just because the peak energy goes like b to the minus a half, and so e squared b is independent of b for synchrotron radiation. But your point is well taken that there may be that given that that's the case, it can't be magnetic field that causes. So there must be another parameter, as I think Naomi said.
Not the total magnetic. So there is one point that the losses care about the total magnetic field.
True.
The diffusion coefficient cares about the amount of power of such field that you have at resonant scales. So if you change the spectrum of the turbulence, you can create a mismatch between the field that enters the diffusion coefficient and the field that enters the losses.
Yeah, that is a big can of worms, because if there's a spectrum of magnetic turbulence, then even the synchrotron radiation can be changed.
I know, but just observational, if you look at 1006, that is the natural conclusion of why the cutoff frequency varies along one rim.
That's so that's possible. But we're taking time from any other questions for Naomi? If not, thanks to all the speakers in this half session. And we'll reconvene at 10 minutes to 5.